This is Audible.
ISIS Audiobooks presents an unabridged recording of Don't Tell, written by Karen Rose and read by Jeff Harding. Chapter 14, Chicago, Thursday, March 15th, 6 p.m. The dull roar assaulted Caroline's ears before she'd even entered the gymnasium. Tom had a home game tonight. The cheerleaders were warming up on the sidelines, and for a moment Caroline envied their high kicks and youthful bounces. She could walk, but like Max, she'd never fly. Rob had seen to that.
"Hi, Miss Stewart."
Forcing a smile to her lips, she waved at the miniskirted group of pom-pom girls on her way to the bleachers. It wasn't their fault she had terrible judgment when it came to men. It wasn't their fault that her note to Max had gone unanswered the whole damn day. She wished it was someone's fault, but in the end, the finger pointed squarely back at herself. She leaned back, propping both elbows on the bleacher above her, and dropped her head back, trying to stretch her tight neck muscles. She shook her head, feeling her hair brush against the bleachers. It was hard to believe almost 2 weeks had passed since she looked up to find Max Hunter standing before her. In only 2 weeks, she'd had her heart turned inside out, felt the first stirrings of lust in her life, and held the man of her dreams in her arms for a few brief shining moments. She shook her head again. But he wasn't the man of her dreams. He wasn't a man she could respect. She'd meant every word of her note. She'd even typed her resume and had several jobs circled in yesterday's want ads. Leaving Carrington before graduation would be hard, but working so close to Max Hunter would be worse. She'd fold eventually, tolerate his self-pity, tolerate his blaming something or someone for his misfortunes, and start the cycle all over again. That cycle must never start again.
"I need to thank you, beautiful."
Caroline jumped a foot, much to the amusement of Tom's coach. A hulk of a man, he towered over everyone she knew. Everyone but Max, that is. Angrily, she banished the thought from her mind as she struggled to straighten her body. Angling a glance up, she found his black eyes dancing with suppressed laughter.
"Don't, Frank," she warned. "Don't tease me. I've had a hell of a bad day."
One eyebrow arched, stretching one side of his ebony face.
"That's the first time I've heard you use the dreaded H-E double hockey sticks, Caroline."
He said her name with the smooth drawl of deep Mississippi, drawing her name out to four syllables. She hung her head.
"I'm sorry. It's just been, well, whatever."
She looked up to find his expression calm and waiting. He'd been a good friend to her for years. She'd met Frank and his wife when the three of them volunteered at the local grammar school, and Caroline had been so glad when Tom became a member of Frank's JV team. He was truly a good man.
"How are you?"
"Happy as a dog scratching a flea."
He grinned when her lips twitched.
"But I didn't come over here to discuss my personal state of being. I came to thank you."
Caroline frowned.
"For what?"
Frank's bass laugh was enough to vibrate the glossy wood beneath their feet.
"For sending a legend my way, beautiful."
He gently grabbed her chin between two beefy fingers and turned her gaze to the end of the court.
"He's gonna be a godsend. The boys are practically drooling puddles on their shoes. A Laker. I still can't believe it."
"When,
Caroline stuttered and gave up.
"Today.
Frank tilted her chin up to check her eyes.
"You're surprised. You didn't think he'd come. And just why did you have an H-E double hockey stick of a day, Caroline?"
"Shut up, Frank."
But her smile was practically ripping her face.
"He's good with the kids?"
"Oh, yes. Is he good with Caroline?"
His laugh boomed out again at her blush.
"No need for words, darling. You just said it all. I won't tire him out on his first day. I'll make sure I leave some of them for you."
"Oh, stop."
With a mock push, she sent Frank on his way, then turned and watched Max. For a full 15 minutes, he drilled the second string, while the first string kept missing their cues to rebound as they stared at the sight of a former pro in their midst. As a pregame warm-up, it was a bust, but Caroline doubted any of the boys would complain. Max discarded the jacket of his suit and his tie, and stood in his street shoes, his shirt sleeves rolled to just below his elbows. A steady line of perspiration dripped from his forehead down the side of his face, and that lock of black hair kept falling across his forehead. Sweat had darkened his underarms and soaked the back of his shirt. He'd never looked more disheveled. She wanted him with a fierceness that stole her breath. Then he stopped with his hand on a boy's shoulder and turned around. He caught her gaze as that slow smile she'd come to love lit his eyes, then curved his beautiful mouth. And he winked, just once, before turning back to instruct the lucky boy in the art of the free throw. And quietly, without thunder or lightning, it all fell into place. A sweet peace filled her as she watched him. This was right. This was for keeps. Her lips curved. She'd call Dana tonight and tell her to stop cursing Max with every spare breath. But for the moment, she hoarded the absolute happiness, the sheer contentment of knowing she'd found the one. The right one.
Time for bed, Tom,
Caroline said from the sofa to her son sitting at her feet. Guarding her, Max thought.
But, Mom... Good night, Tom,
Caroline repeated firmly.
Tomorrow's a school day.
Tom rose, clearly unwilling to leave his mother alone.
Good night, Mom.
He hesitated, then added much more quietly.
Good night, Max.
Caroline rose from her comfortable seat, nestled in the crook of Max's arm to muss Tom's blonde hair, standing on her toes to reach. Good night, Tom. Max didn't move from his position on the hard, lumpy sofa. Couldn't move. Wouldn't move. His back hurt like the devil. But that pain was nothing compared to the throbbing of his body. If he stood up now, Caroline's politely surly son would get a lesson in the birds and the bees that he'd never forget. Max doubted that would elevate his position on Tom's meter of trust. Caroline was looking at Tom expectantly. She threw a pointed glance at Max. Tom flushed, shifting his body uncomfortably.
Thanks for coming, Max.
No problem, Tom. I should have gotten off my pity train and done something like that a long time ago. You should thank your mom for helping me see the light.
The two exchanged glances, eyes equally blue, equally expressive. I don't trust him, Tom's gaze screamed. Don't argue with me, young man, Caroline's answered firmly.
Go, honey.
Her command was soft, yet somehow brooked no argument.
Homework, then bed.
She watched Tom move stiffly to his bedroom, and when his door closed, her shoulders sagged for just a moment. But she straightened them, then returned to snuggle at Max's side.
Well,
she said, smiling up at him.
Well.
He shifted against the corner of the sofa, but the position change brought no relief. The hour he'd spent watching television while she snuggled against him in a soft blue sweater and very snug jeans, with her suspicious son coiled on the floor like a guard dog at her feet, had been pure torture.
That was pretty wonderful.
Her fingers toyed with the short hairs at his temple.
I was proud of you.
It wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be.
He swallowed as emotion returned to battle the lust.
I told Frank I'd coach through the end of the season.
He swallowed again.
I'll have to have my secretary clear my calendar of all 8 afternoon appointments.
Caroline caressed his lower lip.
I'll get on it first thing in the morning.
Caroline, about that note, do you really want to quit?
Do you want me to?
No. No,
he repeated softly when she flinched. I don't want you to go. Caroline felt relief course through her. Perhaps everything was going to be all right after all.
I didn't want to leave you.
She couldn't miss the flash in those smoky eyes, intensely trained on her face.
I just didn't think I could stay.
You mean with me acting like an ungrateful, pompous, self-pitying son of a bitch? Embarrassment heated her cheeks.
I'm sorry. I normally don't talk like that.
But you meant it.
Yes.
Do you mean it now?
No.
Good. He'd leaned closer with every word until he covered her mouth with his. Lightly at first, reacquainting. Then he pulled away, making her sigh. I missed you.
Is that why you did this tonight?
She asked. Partly, he admitted. I don't think I would ever have done it on my own. It was hard, Caroline. I tried to go back, to look at pictures, to remember playing. I couldn't.
You will.
Her hands tunneled into his hair, bringing his face close again.
I'll make you.
Promise?
I promise.
Sober, he pulled back far enough to see her eyes. I've been thinking about everything you said. Your injury, learning to walk again. What happened?
Not now,
she thought.
Don't spoil it by making me think about it now.
But he was waiting for an answer, his heart in his eyes.
It was a long time ago. None of that matters anymore.
If it happened to you, it matters to me. You never talk about your past. What happened to you, Caroline? Why were you alone, learning to walk again with no one caring if you lived or died? Please, he pleaded softly. I need to know.
Max.
Caroline. He brushed her lips with his. Please. His sweet pleading plucked at her heart.
I fell down some stairs. When I woke up, I was in the hospital, partially paralyzed.
Caroline closed her eyes and searched frantically for the right words. She needed to tell him, but this wasn't the right time. The closeness was still so new, so fragile. What if he didn't want her anymore when he found out? It would be his right. Only a fool would want a woman with such baggage. Opening her eyes, her breath caught at the tender expression of caring on his beautiful face. Or a man in love. It was almost too much to hope for. My, he prodded gently.
Tom's father didn't love us, Max. We were something of a burden to him.
That much was true.
I can't expect you to understand. Your family's so supportive. Not everyone is as lucky as you all are.
He abandoned you when you were hurt? Max's lips thinned. She could feel his muscles clench in tightly controlled fury.
Something like that. I got better. That's the important thing. I got away,
she thought to herself.
I came here. I met you.
She watched his rage ebb and tenderness take its place. You met me. That's the important thing. Caroline, I can't tell you. His voice threatened to break, and he cleared his throat. You've given me something very precious. My self-respect. She shook her head.
No, I gave you nothing. It was always there, just waiting for you to claim it again. I just pushed a little. I was so glad to see you standing there today. So proud.
I want to be the man you can depend on. The tender words almost broke her heart.
I want that, too. I think you are.
What would make you certain?
I...
He was close, so close she could see the lamplight glint on the gray of his eyes. too close for her to hide the feelings that seemed to sport a neon sign across her breast. Too close for her to want to hide one flutter of her heart.
I need you to be certain.
What do you need, Caroline?
I need you to... Later. I'll tell him later,
she thought, surrendering to the urgency of the desire coiling deep inside her body.
Right now, I need you to kiss me.
Her own gasp was the last thing she heard as he followed her command, twisting his body until she lay pressed into the sofa cushions, robbed of breath. Waves roared in her head, echoes of the beating of her heart. His mouth was voracious, devouring without punishing. He was by turns sweet and savage, nudging, nipping, tasting, until she could only moan. She gasped again as his tongue stole inside her mouth, tracing, relearning every groove, the texture of every surface. Then her body went completely still as one large hand covered her breast, claiming her through the softness of her sweater.
Max.
It was half protest, half hosanna. You are beautiful, he breathed, his hand gently kneading. I don't think I've ever told you.
No.
It was a small wonder she could breathe, much less speak. His touch had her breasts swelling, pressure building. She could feel the rasp of the cotton of her bra against her nipples as they went hard, and every other ounce of feeling pooled low, making her arch instinctively, making him catch his breath in turn.
It's true. Here.
He stroked the softness of her cheek. And your eyes. They snared me from the first minute I saw you looking up at me. Entranced, she stared up at him. You want to know what else? He asked with a trace of a smile, which widened as she simply nodded.
Your mouth, meant to be kissed.
He kissed her tenderly.
By me. I've dreamed of you every night, and every dream ends the same way, with your hair spread across my pillow. Max.
Shh. Just kiss me, Caroline. Helplessly entwined in the tender words, she kissed him back. Slow and sumptuous and just a little bit shy, she explored his mouth, experimenting with pressure and angle until she found just the right fit. His hand slid back down her sweater to cup her breast once again, and just as before, it swelled to fill his palm. She forgot reality, drifting away on a dream so precious she was afraid to wake up, afraid it truly had to be a dream. Nothing in her life had ever felt so good.
Damn.
Jolted from utter bliss, her eyes flew open to find his face contorted in pain.
What?
Nothing, he muttered.
You're back,
Caroline guessed.
Sit back and try to relax.
She placed her hands firmly in the center of his chest and gave him the starting push he needed to dislodge the crick in his back. He groaned as he lay back, his eyes clenched shut.
I'm sorry, Max.
Caroline scrambled to her knees beside him.
I should have known better than to challenge you to anything that could hurt your back.
He opened one eye, then in a flash, gripped her round bottom in both hands and swung her over to straddle him. My back'll be fine. It's the rest of me that's dying here. Understanding lit her eyes, followed closely by amusement.
You don't say.
He tilted her bottom, tumbling her against his chest. I do say. It felt good. Better than good.
You are the boss,
Caroline murmured, playing as he'd taught her, nipping his lower lip gently, making his pelvis jerk forward. Her eyes slammed shut as another wave of feeling swept through her, splashing kaleidoscopes of color against her eyelids. The unmistakable evidence of his arousal nudged at her core, sending a shudder through her body. Her hands clenched in the fabric of the sweatshirt he'd borrowed from Frank after the game.
Oh, God.
Her little moan stoked Max's fire even higher, and he struggled for control. I want you, Caroline. His hands kneaded her buttocks, bringing her into even closer contact with his rigid body. I can't hide it. Her body stiffened, and he studied her expression, a mixture of amazement and panic. His palms flattened against the small of her back and lightly massaged. I don't want to hide it. I want you to know. He felt the muscles of her back begin to relax and was stunned to find soothing her was as erotic as kissing her. I want you. I want to lie with you. His own heart stumbled when she sank down on him, the sudden friction against his flesh almost unbearable. He leaned forward to whisper in her ear, I want to be inside you. I want to feel your pleasure. Her body was shaking, draped against him, her arms now locked around his neck, her forehead resting against his. Shh, he whispered. Let me show you how good you can feel. His hands slipped under the hem of her sweater and teased the curve of her waist, feeling the shivers race across her skin. His fingers traced the ridge of her spine, upwards until he came to the clasp of her bra. One twist and a tug, and she was freed from the confining cotton. And a second later, her warm flesh was cradled in his hands, the pebble-hard tips biting into his palms. His brain hazed, separating him from his normal repertoire of superlatives. Caroline. He breathed. It wasn't flowery poetry, but still managed to convey the wonder and delight in his heart. Caroline tried to speak, but found all she could wring from her throat was a small whimper. His hands were warm and hard, yet tender and gentle all at once. His thumbs teased her, sending static bursts she felt down to her toes. She kissed him hard and deep and long, taking the initiative, reveling in his groan that was muffled against her lips. Every nerve in her body was sensitized, alive with pleasure. She wanted more. When he lifted his hips higher, she met him halfway, pressing hard, feeling the erotic throb of his erection against her own pulsing center. Ironically, it was that very sensation that triggered the return of reason. Tom was in the next room, and she wasn't prepared to explain such a compromising position. But more importantly, she needed Max to be certain he could accept her past before she allowed their physical relationship to progress any further. She stiffened, lifting away from him slightly, but just enough to break the most incredible contact she'd ever experienced.
Stop. We need to stop, Max.
With a guttural moan, he went rigid before slumping back against the sofa, widening the distance between their bodies. I'm sorry. The sound of their labored breathing competed with the low murmur of the television. No, I'm sure as hell not sorry. I've wanted to do that since the first day I met you. Caroline forced herself to roll off his warm lap, sitting a safe 6 inches from him, knees to her chest, arms clutching her knees.
I didn't.
His head swiveled around, his expression one of injured disbelief. You didn't? She shook her head slowly, still caught in the web of arousal.
I couldn't. I didn't know anything like this even existed.
His eyes flashed, intense and possessive, and she felt her body warm once again. Why didn't you? You've had a child. Why didn't you know about this? Caroline struggled for an answer to his claim that, while unspoken, was every bit as strong as the question he'd voiced. And in the end, voiced a question of her own.
Where are we going with this, Max?
Tonight specifically, or our lives in general? Her mouth tipped up.
I could guess where we were going tonight. I may be inexperienced, but I'm not entirely ignorant. I do have a child, as you have so astutely noted.
She sobered.
Our lives in general, where?
Max pushed himself to sit straight on the sofa, wincing at the tightness against his zipper that had not begun to abate. She sat watching him warily, her body curled in a protective ball. He wanted to ask who'd hurt her spirit, tossed her aside, put those shadows in her eyes. But instead, he simply told her the truth. I'm falling in love with you. Then panic gripped his gut at the tears welling in her incomparable eyes. Why does that upset you?
It doesn't upset me.
She blinked, sending streaks down her face.
I just never expected it would be so beautiful when I finally heard it for the first time.
The hitch in her voice tore at his heart. That such a woman could go her lifetime without hearing the words was incomprehensible. Ever, Caroline? Her eyes dropped.
Ever.
He opened his arms. Come here. And folded himself around her when she crawled back into his lap and laid her cheek against his chest. Don't worry. You'll get used to hearing it.
Max?
Hmm?
I love you, too.
He gathered her close and hugged her until she gasped for breath. You're right. It is a beautiful thing to hear. Caroline let herself be held and floated in bliss, refusing to mar the moment by thinking about the day when she'd tell him the truth. Asheville, Friday, March 16th, 9 a.m. Tony set her coffee cup on an ever-diminishing area of uncluttered desk. Her eyes were weary. Stephen wondered how much sleep she'd had.
Status?
She asked. Stephen looked over at Lambert, who gave him an after-you gesture. After working closely with Lambert all night, Stephen had determined the man was both sharp and indefatigable. Stephen wished he himself was, and swallowed the yawn that would surely have broken his jaw. We found his truck parked in the short-term parking lot at Knoxville Airport. He'd changed the plates, but we got a positive ID from the vehicle ID number on the engine block.
Careless of him,
Tony murmured. Stephen nodded. He thinks he's smart, but he's made some mistakes, and that's how we'll catch him. Roger Upton booked a flight from Knoxville to Chicago O'Hare on Monday evening. The Roger disguise is pretty elaborate. He had to put on a goatee and thick sideburns and significant bulk around his middle. One of the desk clerks remembers him because he walked up to the counter to buy his ticket. She said most people buy their tickets far enough in advance to get discounts. He and Lambert had been up all night making calls, and while they'd traced Winters' movements, they were still no closer to finding the bastard. Stephen sat up straighter in his chair, fighting a wave of his own exhaustion. The clerk said he became agitated when she told him his suitcase was too large to carry on. He complained that it contained materials vital to his business and he'd be incapable of doing his job if he didn't have that case. She suggested he take a nonstop flight, which would reduce the number of times his bag was handled, and he did that, even though the fare was significantly more expensive than the lowest fare which had two connections. Stephen's mouth quirked up. Of course, that didn't matter. He charged it to Roger Upton's credit card. Tony huffed a tired chuckle.
Enterprising.
Stephen nodded. He bought a first-class ticket. Tony sipped her coffee.
Enterprising and discriminating.
He rented a car in Chicago, Lambert offered. Same name. Clerk at the Avis counter said he flirted with her. He rented a large-size Oldsmobile, well-equipped. He was a little annoyed when they didn't have any Cadillacs.
Our boy has style,
Tony said lightly, then leaned over to pick up her phone when it rang.
Ross.
Stephen watched her brow furrow and her eyes slide closed.
Thanks. No, I'll contact the boy's mother after I escalate this up the line. The captain needs to be prepared for the press when this gets out. Yeah, be prepared to do a rush analysis when I get the exhumation order approved.
Carefully, she replaced the receiver and dragged the heels of her hands down her face. Exhumation, Stephen thought, eyeing Lambert, who seemed equally uninformed. This was a thread she'd kept to herself. Perhaps this thread was the rope that had been pulling her down over the last few days.
"Who was that, Tony?" Lambert asked quietly.
"The lab. I had a very bad hunch standing there in Winters' house the other night when we did the search."
Lambert stiffened. "About?" he asked, as if he really didn't want to know the answer. Tony blew out a sigh.
"About the boots we found on his back porch. Sue Ann Broughton said Winters had brought the boots home Monday morning when he came home. I talked to him late Sunday night after I'd paged him."
She shrugged.
"Half a dozen times or so. He said he'd been occupied questioning a witness in the gang stabbing of that convenience store owner over on Fifth Street. We were looking for Alonzo Jones, the gang leader, and Winters said he knew where he was hiding. The next day, one of the boys caught on the store video with Jones was found beaten to death in an alley. Nobody thought anything about it. Kids and gangs get beaten. It happens."
"Until you saw the boots," Stephen commented. Tony nodded.
"I sent them to the lab, and they found hairs on the boots that came from a black person."
Her shoulders sagged.
"The boy was buried yesterday."
Lambert paled. "He kicked a boy to death to get information?" He shook his head. "I don't know why I continue to be amazed, but I am." Tony's eyes closed, her mouth tightened, her fists clenched atop a pile of paperwork.
"And now I have to tell the boy's mother her son may have been murdered by one of my men."
She finished in a ragged whisper. "This is not your fault, Tony." Lambert's tone was low and urgent. "You didn't know." Tony shook her head.
"I always knew something wasn't right."
Her shoulder lifted in a muted shrug.
"I just thought he was a prejudiced good old boy."
She pressed her fingers to her lips.
"How could I have missed this?"
Lambert shot a helpless look at Stephen, shaking his head. Stephen took Tony's hand from her mouth and clasped it tightly. "Because you're not God, neither am I, neither is Lambert, even though he could pass for Archangel Gabriel in a pinch." "Hey," Lambert protested, smiling weakly. Stephen smiled back, then sobered and squeezed Tony's hand. "We do the best that we can every day, Tony, you know that." He released her hand and straightened to his full height, feeling his fatigue melt away, resolve taking its place. "We'll get him," he vowed. "He'll make a mistake, and we'll take him down." Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 12 noon. Dana folded her arms over her chest.
"You have to tell him the truth, Caroline, before this whole thing with Max goes any further."
Caroline kicked at a clump of soggy grass at the edge of the duck pond. The bliss she'd felt in his arms the night before had waned sometime between his goodnight kiss at her front door and the sleepless night she'd spent alone, imagining the worst. Tossing and turning, she rehearsed the speech she'd recite when she told him the truth. And each time, she could see his face tighten in anger, pale in revulsion. Fatigue and worry made her voice harsh.
"So tell me something I don't already know." "I'm sorry."
Dana squeezed Caroline's arm through her coat.
"How can I help you? Play Cyrano?" "Caroline."
Dana shook her head.
"If he loves you and you love him, telling him the truth won't change a thing." "Well, it won't,"
she added when Caroline flipped her a sarcastic glance.
"I know."
Caroline leaned over to stroke the petals of a brave daffodil, wishing she herself were.
"I just don't have the words. I have no idea where to begin." "Caroline, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Schedule yourself on his calendar and tell him."
The irony in Dana's voice sunk in, and Caroline straightened her spine.
"Okay, I will. When? Tomorrow." "Caro."
It was the don't-give-me-no-shit tone Dana did so well.
Okay, okay. I'll at least schedule a time today. Good girl. Now that that's settled, run the part about his dreamier hair on his pillow by me again. I missed the salient parts the first time.
Caroline threw a mock punch to Dana's shoulder.
Watch it, Dupinsky.
Dana pulled on her sunglasses.
I fulfill my role as Mother Confessor in Dear Abby, and yet you deny me fulfillment of my prurient curiosity. That's gratitude for you.
She sighed, her voice suddenly weary.
I have to be getting back to the house. Do it today, Caro. As soon as I walk back into the office. Hey, Dana, what is it now? Are you okay? I didn't like the sound of that sigh.
Dana shrugged.
I'll be fine. I just had another woman run away yesterday. She just arrived at the house on Wednesday and she's already gone.
Caroline shook her head.
I hate it when they run back to their husbands.
She abandoned her usual diatribe at the sag of Dana's shoulders.
What's her name, honey?
Dana rubbed the back of her neck as if she could rub the weariness away.
Angie. I'll remember her in my prayers.
Dana's mouth smiled, but the smile never reached her eyes.
Thanks, honey. And Caroline, about Max, do it today.
Caroline rolled her eyes.
I said I would. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That and 60 cents gets me a Hershey bar from the candy machine. Later, Caroline. Call me when you've done it.
Caroline found Max at his desk on the phone. He saw her and smiled. I have to go, Frank. He listened and grinned. Yes, I promise I'll be there tomorrow, 10 sharp. I won't forget. I have to go now. He hung up the phone and waved her closer.
So what was that all about?
He reached for her hand and pulled her onto his knee.
Max!
He put on an innocent look. What? She struggled, but he held her firmly on his lap.
Somebody, anybody could come by.
So?
So I still work for you.
Caroline spluttered, fighting the panic that started to rise in her throat at being so restrained. He opened his arms, releasing her. Then go and close the door. Caroline's heart calmed. He'd let her go.
This is Max,
Caroline reminded herself.
He's a good man. You're a good man.
The thought sent shivers down her back. Instead of getting up, she snuggled closer.
In a minute.
Max's arms closed around her again. I've been wondering where you were. She rubbed her cheek on his shoulder, enjoying the simple feel of him.
Talking to Dana out by the duck pond.
She sighed.
You smell so good.
That's supposed to be my line. She smiled and burrowed a little closer, catching her breath when one of his hands slid under her butt to lift her closer. His other hand settled comfortably on her hip, caging her to him. But it didn't feel like a cage at all. Oh, no, not at all.
So what was Frank after?
Something was different, Max thought. Good different. This was the first time she'd cuddled with him of her own volition. Whatever barriers she'd built seemed to be coming down. He asked me to do a skills workshop in a lower-income neighborhood tomorrow morning.
That's good.
She ended her sentence on a purr as he lifted her chin and took her lips in the kiss he'd been dreaming about since he'd finished their goodnight kiss the night before. He'd lain awake a good part of the night, wanting her. Wanting her in his bed, her body tangling with his. Of course, he'd wanted her in his bed from the first moment he'd laid eyes on her. But now there was so much more. He wanted her in his house with him. Wanted her smile to be the first thing he saw when he opened his eyes every morning. Wanted her strength and her tenderness. Forever. He lifted his head and looked down at her beautiful face, and his heart swelled. He wanted Caroline to be his wife. Now, that was spontaneous. Or maybe it was just that he'd finally gotten it right. "Caroline," he whispered, and she opened her eyes. She loved him. She'd said it last night, and now he saw it in her eyes. He never finished the sentence, cut off by a shrill cry.
"Caroline!"
Caroline jumped, twisting off his lap and around to see the door. Evie stood there, white-faced and trembling.
"You..."
Caroline took three steps toward the girl before Evie raised a shaking hand.
"You knew,"
she whispered fiercely.
"You knew how I felt, and you moved right in anyway. I hate you." "Evie, please."
Caroline took another step forward, and Evie stepped back.
"I trusted you. I believed you were different."
She shook her head, her pretty mouth twisted in a hateful sneer.
"Did you think it was funny, Caroline? Cute? Did you think I had a little crush on my school teacher? You're no better than any of the others. A cheap slut who'll sell her soul to the first man who comes along."
Caroline only looked at her, shaking her head, saying nothing in her own defense. Maxie stood, and Evie turned her furious glare in his direction.
You were interested in me. You looked at me like you wanted me."
"No, Evie."
"Don't tell me no, Evie, because it's true."
Evie spun around to Caroline and slapped her face so hard that Caroline stumbled and fell to the floor. Max was at Caroline's side in two strides that left him wincing. He went down on one knee and pulled Caroline from the floor to a kneeling position. He lifted his eyes to see Evie staring at Caroline in horror, her hands still raised as if she were frozen in that position. "That will be quite enough, Evie," Max said quietly. "On Monday, I'll bring you before the dean. Use of violence on this campus is not allowed in any capacity, for any reason." Her hand slowly lowered, and Evie turned from the room without another word. Max lifted Caroline's chin, unsurprised to see her eyes heavy with unshed tears. "I'm sorry," he murmured.
"You didn't do anything."
"I'm sorry she hurt you. Where will she go?" Caroline looked up, and the tears spilled down her cheeks.
"I don't know. She doesn't have anywhere to go except to Dana's apartment. That's the only home she's really ever had."
"Do you want to go after her?" he asked, wiping her face with his thumbs. The imprint from Evie's hand had left a red mark on Caroline's cheek. He tamped down the anger he felt at the sight. Evie meant a great deal to Caroline, so he'd try to understand the girl's reaction for Caroline's sake. But he couldn't allow her to strike Caroline or any other staff member and go unpunished.
"No, she won't want to talk to me now. She'll go to Dana. I need to call Dana and warn her."
"Then go. In a minute. First." He caught her and pulled her into his arms. She came willingly, he thought with relief. He'd been afraid she'd feel some kind of guilt at Evie's angry recriminations. He held her, gently rubbing her back until she shuddered out a sigh.
"I've got to go now."
She lifted her face and caught Max around the neck in the same movement. She tugged his head down and touched her lips to his. It was the first kiss she'd initiated. He was acutely aware of it, even if Caroline was not.
"What are you doing tonight?"
He rubbed his lips across hers, loving the way it felt. So perfect. "I was hoping you'd have dinner with me. We could leave right after my last class." She shook her head, not breaking the contact.
"Sorry. I have to go home and make sure Tom's ready for his camping trip. Come to my apartment and I'll make you dinner,"
she whispered against his lips. "Come to my house. My kitchen is bigger." My bed is bigger, he thought, all the while knowing intimacy wasn't in the cards for tonight, not with her bodyguard hovering. Tom still didn't trust him, but they'd get there. Tom would have to, Max thought. Otherwise, the next 50 years of their lives would be unbearable, because Max fully planned to marry the boy's mother, whatever it took.
Okay, I'll be there by 8.
He kissed the corner of her mouth. I'll come and get you at 6:30. She drew back and gave him an uncertain smile.
Okay. Be hungry.
I will. He waited until he heard the outer office door close. I am. Asheville, Friday, March 16th, 2:30 p.m. Stephen trapped the phone between his ear and shoulder to type a final line on his daily summary email to Lenny Farrell as he listened to his youngest son relate a story of first-grade angst. He hit send, then leaned back in the folding chair in his little sauna to more fully savor the tale. "So then what happened?" Stephen asked. He'd missed his boys, he thought, glad to be leaving for home for the weekend in just a few hours. His middle son, Matt, had a piano recital the next day Stephen had promised not to miss.
"Then Jimmy Heacon puked all over Ashley Beardsley."
Stephen had to smile at the obvious glee in his baby's voice. "Well, it's not that often something that exciting happens on the playground. I guess Jimmy Heacon won't be taking dares to eat live worms again anytime soon." Nicky chuckled.
"I guess not."
A pause, then more soberly.
"Daddy, how much longer does Officer Jacobs have to take me to school?"
Fear stabbed his heart again. The same as every time Stephen thought of Winters putting his hands on his baby, which was about 10 times an hour. But Gary Jacobs was a good man, an officer he'd trust with his own life, and, more importantly, with his child's. It was the one thing that kept him from fleeing back to Raleigh to hide with his sons in a makeshift bunker. "Until we catch a man that you talked to that day, darling. Why, don't you like Officer Jacobs?"
"Yeah, I guess so."
Nicky's voice held a wistful note.
"I just wish you were home, Daddy."
Stephen kneaded his temples, feeling his omnipresent headache notch in a little deeper. His hand flattened to cover his eyes from the bright light in the conference room. "I wish I were home too, baby. I'll see you later tonight." He glanced up through his fingers to find Tony standing at the door, gesturing for him to hang up. "Hey, Nicky, I'll call you later, okay?"
"Okay, Daddy. Love you."
"I love you too, Nicky." He hung up and Tony entered, a single piece of paper in her hand. "My baby," Stephen explained, pointing at the phone. "What's up?" She approached, a fresh light in her eyes, and laid a sheet of paper on the table before him.
"New Luds just came in on the fax for you. Winters called his Charlotte number right after he hung up with Jolly yesterday."
Stephen sat upright in his chair and pulled the list of Winters' phone calls closer. "The hacker Lambert thought he was trying to contact?" he asked, excitement warming his voice.
"Let's hope so."
She pulled up a chair and sat close enough to point at the phone number in question.
"The cell phone belongs to a Randall Livermore. He's a freshman at UNC Charlotte. Lives with his parents."
Stephen felt a shimmer of excitement in his gut as he scanned the rest of the calls, his eyes remaining glued to the page. "I'll call the Charlotte Mecklenburg PD and get a request for a search warrant started." He looked up and met Tony's grin with one of his own, feeling triumphant for the first time in days. "And then I'll head down to Charlotte. This is it, Tony. I can feel it. We're gonna get him." Chapter 15. Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 4 p.m. Caroline found Tom shoving socks into his duffel bag. A little tremor shook her heart and rumbled through her stomach as she stood in the doorway to his room and watched him pack. Worries about Evie and telling Max the truth temporarily pushed aside. Her son was finally headed out on the camping trip he'd so anticipated. He'd be gone for 5 days. Tom had been looking forward to this trip since he and his friends had begun the planning over the Christmas break. One of the boys' fathers was going to drive them all up to a lake in Wisconsin, where they'd sleep in tents, fish for their breakfast, and roast hot dogs over the fire if they proved to be inept hunters. At Tom's age, hot dogs 3 times a day probably wouldn't hurt him. God knew she didn't need to worry about stunting his growth. She felt a thrill of excitement compete with the tug of worry. Her son was making friends, venturing out on his own, similar to the way she was venturing out with Max. A little at a time, slowly but surely, they were emerging from the dark cloud they'd been hiding under for so long. He looked up and saw her, his face taking on a happy expression.
"You're home early." "I left a little early to make sure you had enough socks."
She tilted her head.
"So, do you have enough socks?"
Tom shot her one of his engaging grins.
"I don't know, Mom. Do you think 12 pairs is enough for a 5-day camping trip?" "If it rains, you'll be glad I made you take the extra socks."
"If it rains, we'll be playing Game Boy in our tents."
"Do you have extra underwear?"
He made a great show of rolling his eyes.
12 pairs.
Caroline smirked.
"If you see any bears, you'll be glad I made you take extra."
Tom threw back his head and laughed. And Caroline felt unexpected tears sting her eyes at the sight. Abruptly, Tom sobered and crossed the few feet between them.
"What's wrong, Mom?" "If you don't want me to go..."
"Shh." Caroline reached up and laid a finger across his mouth.
"I want you to go."
He moved her hand away from his face, lightly holding her wrist.
"Then why are you crying?"
Tom's face darkened.
"Did Max hurt your feelings again?" "No, no."
Caroline slipped her hand from his and reached up to hug him with both arms. Almost fiercely, he hugged her back, lifting her feet a foot off the floor.
"I'm just realizing everything is changing,"
she said to the wall behind his back. Tom let her go, and she felt her toes touch the floor again.
"Change is good, Mom. You always say that."
She nodded and scraped tears from her face for the second time that day.
"I know. Sometimes it can be scary, though."
She patted Tom's cheek.
"I seem to be getting involved with Max."
A flush of embarrassment reddened Tom's cheek, even as his jaw tightened.
"I know."
Caroline drew a breath.
"And before it goes too far, he needs to know."
Tom narrowed his eyes as full comprehension dawned.
"You're gonna tell him? Mom!" "Don't mom me in that tone of voice, Tom."
She locked eyes with him until he dropped his gaze to the worn carpet.
"Oh, I'm sorry, Mom, but we promised we'd never tell anybody. Anybody,"
he repeated defiantly.
"We told Dana,"
Caroline observed quietly.
"That was different,"
Tom burst out.
"We trusted her,"
Caroline supplied gently. He lifted his eyes, still narrowed and angry.
"Yes. Well, I trust Max."
"I don't," Tom returned deliberately.
"Why?"
He said nothing, just looked away, and Caroline felt her temper simmer.
"Because he hurt my feelings?"
she demanded.
"Well, I can handle my own feelings, son."
Tom's shoulders remained stubbornly set.
"Because you're afraid he'll hurt me?"
A muscle twitched in Tom's cheek.
"He has a temper, Mom." "Yes, and he's lost it. But never, not once, has he laid his hands on me in a way that was anything but gentle. Even when he was at his most furious. Which," she added, "I deliberately provoked."
"You've only known him 2 weeks."
"True. But sometimes you just know, even in 2 weeks.
"How long did you know him?" Tom challenged quietly, triumphantly. Caroline winced. Low blow.
"That's not the same at all. I was 15 years old at the time, about the same age you are now."
She finished with a meaningful tilt of her head. Tom glared, clearly frustrated.
"You're saying I don't know what I'm talking about."
Her temper fizzled.
"No, honey. I'm saying I have 16 more years of experience than you. Tom, I know you don't trust Max. Yet. But do you trust me?"
Tom hesitated, then met her eyes and nodded, his eyes still defiant.
Then trust me to do the right thing.
She turned from her son's intense stare and began straightening the trophies on the top of his chest of drawers. She picked up a trophy at random and turned it over, staring at the flat bottom as if it contained great wisdom. It didn't. She heard the creaking of the springs of Tom's bed, then his heavy sigh.
Do you love him, Mom?
What a question from a 14-year-old. Yet it demanded an answer. She put the trophy down with care and turned to face the boy who had been forced by circumstances beyond his control to become a man too soon. She owed her son nothing less than complete honesty.
Yes.
His eyes lowered to the carpet and his hands clenched in his bedspread.
He says he loves me too,
she added, and watched his hands gradually relax. Tom finally looked up.
Then I'm glad.
Caroline let out the breath she hadn't realized she was holding.
You are?
He smiled. Not the cute, charming smile that he used to make her laugh or diffuse her temper, but a sober smile, not offsetting the worry that remained in his eyes.
Yes, I am. You deserve to be happy, Mom. You deserve to have someone love you that won't make you afraid.
Caroline tried to swallow, but the lump of emotion was far too large.
I don't think I deserve you,
she whispered. Tom raised one brow, and his charming grin reappeared.
No, you don't.
Laughing through her tears, she grabbed one of his smaller trophies and hurled it harmlessly to his bed, where it landed on his pillow with a muffled thump.
Go camping, young man. And if you end up getting a stomachache from eating hot dogs all weekend, don't come complaining to me.
Chicago, Friday, March 16th, 5 p.m. Winters slid the faxed pages from the envelope that had been waiting at Mailboxes USA, well pleased.